Hello and welcome back. In our previous session, we looked briefly at God's end vision for his creation project. We saw that what was seeded in Genesis chapters 1 and 2 was brought to completion in Revelation chapters 21 and 22. These four chapters, two at the beginning and two at the end, make up God's two bookends for his story, which unfolds in all the other books and chapters of the Bible that lie in between, some 1,185 chapters. In this session, we want to identify the audience to whom Genesis was written and what exactly the message was that the writer was wanting to convey. It might be startling for many to realize that Genesis, the book of beginnings, actually had an audience. Moses, the writer of the book of Genesis, was writing to a particular people for a particular purpose. In fact, all the books of the Bible had both a writer and an audience, right? It is important to realize, as Bible scholars are now trying to impress upon us, that the Bible was written for us, but it was not written to us. Yes, God had us in mind all those many hundreds of years into the future. Paul, for example, says that all scriptures God breathed and useful, that is, for us, for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, 2 Timothy 3:16. However, the fact remains that the Bible was not written to us. We were not that targeted audience at the time when the books of the Bible were written. So, who was Genesis written to? Who was God, through Moses, specifically addressing, and for what purpose? What was the message God was wanting to deliver to them? Well, the answer is quite simple. It was the Hebrew people, the people God had just delivered out of Egypt to be his chosen people for a special mission. And the special mission was to work together with God in getting his creation project back on track and outworking it towards this ultimate conclusion, Revelation 21 and 22. Genesis is all about God, through Moses, preparing the Hebrew people for their special calling. So, Moses begins by describing creation itself and the totality of creation and the entire universe, and he explains how creation came about and what it was, and that it was by an act of God. In the beginning, God created. The term for God used in the language understood by the Hebrew people was Elohim. Elohim created. Now, Elohim is identified in Scripture as the one and only true God, creator and sustainer of all things. It was he who created the entire universe, the heavens and the earth, and everything on the earth. Now, most, if not every nation in the ancient world at the time of Genesis being written had an understanding that there was one sovereign creator of all things who had always existed and was the giver and sustainer of life. And they referred to him as Elohim, or the equivalent in their language. But God, Elohim, to them was remote. So most nations also had their lesser tribal deities or gods that they understood would favor them if they appeased them, and often through very harsh and costly sacrifices. The Hebrews had a clear understanding of this, as the Egyptians, who held them captive for 400 years, had some 2,000 such tribal deities. Now, moving into Genesis chapter 2, and this is where it really gets exciting, we find the account of creation repeated. But this time, the name Elohim does not appear alone. The name Yahweh is added, or Lord God in English. Yahweh is the name of the personal God of the Hebrews, introduced to Moses in the wilderness as recorded in Exodus chapter 3. So, unlike the nations round about them that had their lesser than Elohim personal gods, the Hebrews' personal God was none other than Elohim, the one and only true God, creator and sustainer of all things. Wow! And Moses was determined that the Hebrew people understood that the God who had called them for a special purpose was none other than the one and only true God, who had no equal, and therefore nothing would be impossible for him. Now, isn't that encouraging for us today to know this as well, that the God whom we serve in Christ has no equal. He is the God of all gods, the Lord of all lords, King of all kings, and nothing is too difficult for him. Luke 1, verse 37. And secondly, Moses was describing creation in such a way that the Hebrew people would be very clear as to why God had created the heavens and the earth. So, what was the purpose of God's creation project? Well, put simply, the universe, the heavens and the earth, and every aspect of creation, including us, was created for God. Now, remember, Genesis was written for us, but not to us, right? So, it was written to answer the purpose questions of who and why of the ancient Hebrew people, and not the how and when questions of science that are so often demanded of us today. And the description of creation Moses gave in just two chapters would have answered perfectly the who and why questions of the ancient Hebrew people. So how would they have understood creation from Moses' account? Well, Professor John Walton, in his book, The Lost World of Genesis 1, says that the writer's description of Genesis 1 would have caused the ancient Hebrew people to understand the universe as a cosmic temple, as God's dwelling place. In fact, Isaiah says exactly this in Isaiah 40, verse 22. He says, He, that is God, stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. Now, this is not Isaiah having a poetic moment. This was how the ancient people of Israel understood the universe, as did most, if not all, the ancient peoples of that time in human history. And the Garden of Eden was exactly this, in miniature form. It was a miniature temple and a prototype of God's plan for the entire earth. In the garden, we have three things. We have God, man, and a fruitful, completed, orderly creation. And Adam and Eve's commissioning in Genesis chapters 1, verse 26 would have made it very clear to them that they would have, understood this perfectly, that man was commissioned by God to extend this sacred, orderly garden or temple over the entire earth. Genesis chapters 1 and 2 was Moses describing to this covenanted people of God what their commissioning and calling was all about. He was introducing them to their life's calling as a nation. They were to work together with God in getting God's creation project back on track and outworking it towards its glorious conclusion. And just to note at this point, that the chronology of God's creation project begins in Genesis 1, right? But the chronology of the Bible story begins after their great exodus from Egypt, with Moses addressing the Hebrew people now as a free nation and being ready to live a life on mission with God. So if we go back in time in the chronology of the Bible story, to when God made a covenant with Abraham, as recorded in Genesis chapter 12, we will see the striking similarities between the commission to Adam or to Adam and Eve and the commission given to Abraham or to Abraham and Sarah. So, at the time when Moses was writing Genesis chapter 1, it would have been obvious to the entire Hebrew nation that the earth was anything but what God had intended it to be, and also that man was living a life that resembled anything but the life God had intended man to live. I mean, the Hebrew people had just been delivered from 400 years of brutal slavery under a merciless tyrant. What happened to the loving, image-bearing purpose man was meant to manifest and the blessing man was meant to extend throughout the whole earth, as Moses would have been explaining to them as recorded in Genesis chapter 1? So the Hebrew people in these first two chapters of Genesis was getting their initial introduction to their mission, which was to be elaborated on throughout the entire five books that Moses was to write, which we know today as the Pentateuch. So perhaps we could title the Bible, The Story of God on Mission and God on Mission with His People. How would that be? What do you think? And I would like to suggest right here, while we are still at the introductory sessions of our series, that this title and this Bible story theme of God on mission and God on mission with His people flows seamlessly from the Old Testament into the New and clear down to the end of the age. God on mission and God on mission with His people unites and makes sense of the entire Bible story, as we shall see as we continue in our series. So, 66 books written over a period of some 1,500 years by some 40 different writers, sure. But one book, one story, one author, God, and one purpose, one God-centered dream being outworked and brought to glorious completion. And we will also discover, as we journey on, how and why God has chosen and called one people to live an extraordinary life on mission with Himself. That's important. That's an important issue, because in this generation, this chosen people is us. I hope you have enjoyed the session. Please leave a comment, and we'll get back together again next week. God bless.